Today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. As we think about this day, we can think about our fathers that we've had in our lives, fathers who have nourished us and provided for us, protected us, and guided us, and loved us, and I'm sure there are many more positive things that we can say about our fathers. But we also can also say bad things about our fathers. Some people have had bad experiences with their fathers, and sometimes it's difficult to celebrate a day like today, as well as some people who never knew their father, and in most cases haven't heard or may have heard good things or bad things to say about their fathers. But while others have heard some negative things about our fathers, today we will focus on our Heavenly Father, who is the greatest father we can ever have. And it's something that we can enjoy. It's God the Father. And when we think about who God is, there must be some sort of relationship for God. Just like we see with a father and a son or a daughter, there are relationships between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So since today is Father's Day, and I was looking in the book of Jude as we started out the last time, and one of the phrases that came out of the first verse, or the second verse of Jude, is the first verse says to be sanctified by God the Father. And we talked about being beloved by God the Father. So let us today focus on God the Father as we can get an understanding of who he is. And so in doing so, you can find us, go to John chapter 17, John chapter 17, and we can look at some list and verses that relate to God the Father, and we will see that relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And for us to understand more about the Father, we need to understand more what Jesus said, what his Son had said. Okay. So John chapter 17, the Gospel of John, we'll just read these words in which the Lord Jesus had said. And Jesus, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that we might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come before you now and we ask you to just help us to understand the scriptures that's before us. Today, as we explore and understand you, may our hearts be open to your words. May you give us give me the right words to say, and our Father, may we be willing to hear, thus says the Lord. Our God, please continue to be a blessing towards us. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You are a Father towards us, even though, in spite of my dad, no one have fathers. We can definitely trust upon you. This we ask in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's look at these words here that Jesus is speaking. And here he is coming to the end of his ministry. And he says pray unto God the Father. And he says, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own glory, which I had with thee before the world was. And the idea of, why is he saying this? He's, glorify me. We think of the word, it's a place of honor in which our Lord Jesus had before the world was. A place of authority, a place of power. And We find here that Jesus in himself is speaking in this verse that he had this honor, he had this glory before creation, before the world even was. And so when you look at the Son of Man, when you look at Jesus Christ himself, before the world began, he was with God. And he had a certain glory with him. And if you look at the words in John chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we have, in the beginning, the Son of God existed before creation. He was with God, and he was the spoken word of God. We find that also that in the beginning, in John, in the same chapter, chapter 17 and verse 24, it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, but with me where I am, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, again, our Lord Jesus, he's a person. He says, I had a glory, I had authority, I had power, and I also were loved by God the Father before the foundation of the world. And also we find there that not only was he dear with the foundation of the world, but we find in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 that he was indeed equal with God. This word says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So we have this man, Christ Jesus. He is the Son of God. He was in creation with God. He was a spoken word of God. And he was also loved by God to be equal with God. Now we find that who is the Lord Jesus Christ? We have the glory, and now we'll find that who he was. It says there in Colossians 1 and verse 15. We read this morning in our breaking of bread, looking in the book of Colossians. These are all familiar words to you. It says here, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Now it's hard to rationalize. We know that God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said that in John 4. But we find here that our Lord Jesus Christ is the image. He is the visible image of the invisible God. And it looks at the fact that a couple verses relates to this. So let's look at some of these verses that speaks about that. It says here in Colossians, we can continue, he was created, he was the Son that created all things. But more importantly, we can find that he was this one with the Father. He was the same with the Father. John chapter 10 and verse 13, our Lord Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Imagine this one is speaking to a crowd and he's telling them these things. We are one. He said, the Father is in me, in John 10:38, and I am in the Father. And if you see me, you also see the Father, and it's he that sent me, in John chapter 12 and verse 45. And Jesus also declared in John 14 verse 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except by me. So we have here that oneness with God the Father. And only in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who actually has seen the Father. In John chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, no man, our Lord Jesus said, no man had seen God at any time except the only begotten Son, which is himself, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. No one had seen our God at any time. So our Lord Jesus Christ had authority, he had glory, and also he is the visible image and in person, in the flesh, of the invisible God. We also continue to see in the Word of God that God, it says here, God and the Father is the Father of the Son. In 2 Corinthians chapter, where is it? 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 1, we have here, the scripture says that God, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We have this relationship again with the Father. He is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when in the scripture it had asked about, Philip had asked this question to the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, and he said, you know, show us the Father. Show us the Father. And what was Jesus' response to them in John 14? If you see me, you know, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me, and he doeth the works. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So, when you ask to see the Father, you see the Son. And when you ask, who is the Son? He was that person that John wrote in the last book of 1 John. I have seen him, I've touched him, I've handled him, I've heard his voice, and I've seen the works. He was that visible person, the Son of God, in the Father, with the Father, and the Father also is in him. Remember the words in which the angel spoke to Mary when our Lord Jesus was being conceived in her womb. And the angel in Luke said to Mary, it says that this Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and this holy thing which shall be born shall be called the Son of God. And we have here the Christ child, the one who was yet in flesh and yet was with God and also is God. And then we also know the words in which Galatians chapter 4 declared, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, and it was made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, because you are a child of God, the scripture says that God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, where you can cry, Abba Father. And where we can cry, the word Abba Father there means my daddy. So here it is. You're looking for a father that you never had, look to God. He can be that father for those that have believed on him. And then we have some scriptures in the Old Testament. We know clearly these words in which we hear on Christmas time about our Lord Jesus being born. But way back there in Psalms chapter 2 and verse 7, it talks about, this is my son. God has been declaring in his word that he had a son. This is my son. And then we know the words in Isaiah chapter 7 and in Isaiah chapter 9. It talks about the fact that behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you should call his name what? Emmanuel. So the prophet is declaring that there is a child that's going to come from a virgin, a woman who never had interaction with a man. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. And we know what that meant, right? We heard it again this morning. God with us. So the prescription that God is going to dwell as a human form was laid out long in the scriptures, many, many years ago. And it says here, and Isaiah chapter 9 talks about the fact that, what is his name? And his name, it says here, shall be called the Counselor, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of him. And one day you shall see his government shall be upon his shoulders. There'll be peace on this world one day. We'll see that one day. So here it is. Our kingdom shall continue forever. And this mighty God we're talking about here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can think of the words in which our brother has been going through in the book of Genesis. In the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. And that word God there is the plural form. You think of the fact that Elohim is the Hebrew word, which translates in a sense that you can see that there is God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And you keep reading, that's what comes out there in Genesis chapter 1. So in the beginning, this idea has been brought forth. Before the world even began, there was God, there was his Son, and there was the Spirit. Because in the scriptures it says here in Genesis that the Spirit moved upon the earth, they moved upon the water. So that exists. So here we go. The Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reading there in Colossians it says there, in whom we have redemption through the forgiveness, redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that is, are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things that were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so we find that here our Lord Jesus Christ is the creator. Also, he was with God, he spoke the word of God, he had glory, he had authority, he had power, and here it is, it's been given that our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his authority. He made all things. And we're always amazed at the invisible things that we cannot see with the naked eye, and yet they're there. The bacteria, the amoebas, the whatever, these cells that live within our body, how we are actually constructed blows the mind. We should be exploding, but God allows everything to consist. The universe should be expanding, and it's still expanding. And why is it that we're still in this little zone that allows for this blue planet to give us enough light, energy, oxygen, just to exist? You move a few degrees to one way, we're frozen. Another few degrees coming in closer, we're burning up. So we thank God for his power in allowing these things to consist. And when he made the world, he made earth first. There was no sun at that time. And when you think about it, as the brother had went through the whole things, the plants were made before there was even had sunlight. So it's amazing what God did. But anyhow, here it is. He made the world, he made the powers, the thrones, the kingdoms, things that are visible, all were created by him. And scripture declares that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find that our Lord Jesus Christ is from the heaven. He is heavenly. The first man that he made, Adam, was earthly. And then we find that the second man they talk about is heavenly, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this authority that came from heaven. He rules over all the world. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 5, we find there the words, it says, who are the fathers of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came? Who is over all, God blessed forever? Amen. Our Lord Jesus is over all. It also says that he's not over all in authority, is that he is rich, he is abundant to all those that call upon him. He is that same Lord. He's wonderful. He's great. He enriches your life. And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So we have here the power in which was given to the Son in creation, and the power that is given to him by title. We have there in Revelation, it says there that he was called a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Lord has this awesome power, this awesome title. And he is just wonderful. Okay. The scripture declares that he's also victorious. And we find here, so let's continue. Who is our Lord? He is, we find here that the Son is Jesus Christ. As we get a relationship with the Father, we have to understand the Son. So there's things that declare the Son, Jesus Christ, will declare about the Father, and things that declare about himself. Remember, the two are one. And so therefore, we're seeing this relationship that takes place. So these words came up in our breaking of bread this morning in Hebrews chapter 7 in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there that he was indeed made higher. Okay. Yes. It says here, I'm just reading, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, just became like you and me, who was holy and harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. So we find here that our Lord Jesus Christ, represented in this context here as an example as a high priest, was holy. He was harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. Our Lord Jesus has said that he is also, Peter describes him as one who's without blemish and without spot. As you think of a lamb, as you take a look at an animal, a blemished animal, an animal that's spotted, couldn't be offered up. And our Lord Jesus was also one that in him there was no sin, and in him he did no sin, and he spoke no lies. So there is this description of the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ was there. He came to take away our sins. And he was a pure, holy, harmless, undefiled one, that sinless one couldn't even take sin, but he took our sins and buried it on the tree where he suffered and died for you and for me. But our Lord Jesus also is a judge. So now that for those that have heard his word, and those that have not believed on him, we can look to him, our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, as a relationship that we can accept, as a friend, or in Romans we find here that he can be to us a judge. God will indeed judge the secrets of the men, of the people here, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his gospel. And the judgment of God continues. It's not that everyone or some people will escape. All people must appear before the judgment seat of God, before the judgment seat of Christ. And therefore the Father will be judging. It says there in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. God is going to judge. God has the authority to judge the world in relation to who the Lord Jesus is. Okay. Another aspect in which God had done for his Son, in that he has appointed him. And you can read that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. And so far we find here that God has appointed our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 1 it says here, God, who in times past, Sundays past, in diverse manners spake, in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, and he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we have our Lord, we've been talking about this. He was appointed by God. He said he's still the Son of God. We find he's still appointed, and he looked at all the words consistent. He made all things. Not only he made all things, we found that he's the image of God, and now we find he's the brightness of his glory, the image of God. That's who he became. And he also upheld all things. He spoke it into being, and he kept all things together. And we find that this is, as a person, we can trust in relation to God. Now, what did God say about his Son? Even though he says he's appointed, he says here, let all the angels worship him, in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 1. All the angels should worship him. And in verse 8 he says, but unto thy Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, and you hateth iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath appointed thee with oil, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so we have this relationship in which God has given to his Son. He has appointed him. He has made him sit in that throne. He has the power. He has that scepter of righteousness. And we find here, we consistently said before, our God is right. Our Lord Jesus was righteous. In him, he had no sin, but he went there and died for our sins. And then the other quick verses in relation to, we looked at this before, that our Lord Jesus came from the Father. Thou art my Son, right? Thou art my Son. And we find here in John chapter 1 and verse 14, familiar words, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt in our house, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. That's who we have, our Lord Jesus. Again, just recapping, he became flesh, and he is also the only begotten Son of God. You know the familiar verse in John 3:16, he loved the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And we also find that God is love. This is the amazing thing. The Son came from the Father. We obviously understood that Mary picked him up and let him continue growing. Just think of the big you. But he was still God, even though he was still yet human being. So, there are certain times when God himself declared to the world that this one, Jesus Christ, is his Son. And we find there's a few passages there in Scripture at the time when he was grown. We know the fact that he said this to Mary, that this thing that's going to be called, it's a holy thing. So he said that to Mary. We know the angels were there and declaring his birth. But there are a few times in Scripture in which God had actually opened the voice of heaven that came down at baptism. At baptism, when he was being baptized by John the Baptist, God said, this is my beloved Son, the voice that came from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when there was a time when he took the disciples up into the mountain, and he was there with Peter, James, and John, and in Matthew it talks about this, he went up to the mountain, and while he was there, his whole face changed, his clothes changed, it all became bright. The scriptures call it transfigured. So he was changed. And in that transformation that took place there, where that glory that went out as bright as the sun, as one of the passages says, there it was. Moses and Elisha was talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here that, and in that conversation that they've had, a cloud said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So we find God is saying, there's only one who can say that, the Father. God the Father is saying, "This is my son." And then there was a time when our Lord Jesus Christ was at a feast, and he prayed in John chapter 12. And there was a conversation taking place. He said he prayed unto God. He said, "Father, save me from this hour." And he knew that his time of his suffering for his death was approaching. And a voice came down from heaven that said, It says, "Father, glorify thy name." And a voice came down from heaven and said, "I would glorify it and will glorify it again." And the people thought it was thunder they heard, some of them said. It thundered. And Jesus said, "This voice came, not because of me, but for your sakes," declaring that he is, this is one of my son who is going to be delivered for my sins and your sins on the cross. Well, there are many times in Scripture again that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the Father himself. And he declared in Matthew chapter 11, and he said that all things were delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knoweth the Son except the Father, and no one knoweth the Father except save the Son. And whosoever the Son will reveal him. So in order for us to know the Father, what Jesus was saying, you have to know me. Remember, he looked at the word, "I am the way, the truth, and the life" in John 14. No one comes to the Father except by me. If you want to know who God the Father is, that good God, then you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. No one knows the Father in Matthew chapter 11 except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and only our Lord Jesus Christ, through him, can he reveal the Father towards you. And the reason I bring that is because the wrath of God is upon all those who do not believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, yes, people say, "Oh yes," and many people talk about the great God out there, but God can be a great judge to them because they have not believed on him. Jesus then declared, when he was arrested and brought before the high priest, inside there, they had tortured him a little. But there it says here, the high priest then was so upset at him, because many times before, Jesus did declare that he was God. And that's what drove him to the point where they want to kill our Lord Jesus multiple times. But the high priest asked the question, and he screamed out, "I draw you by the living God," in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 63 and 64. "I adjure you by the living God, tell us whether you be the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus then answered the question, and he said, "Thou hast said, yes," he said, "I say unto you, and hereafter you shall see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And that made the high priest very angry that he ripped his own clothes. Not supposed to do that. He ripped his high priest's clothing. But yes, Jesus declared that at that point, he is the Son of God. And so therefore, again, he went on to be crucified for that purpose. Now, clearly, as Jesus also had declared himself being the Son of God, Peter, there are a few examples in Scripture in where people had recognized who Jesus was. Peter was one of them. The blind man, Bartimaeus is one of them. And so the centurion was one. Peter, when the question was asked of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples, "Tell me who you think I am." And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter had definitely seen the miracles and the things in which Jesus had done. He healed his mother, who was indeed sick. So his mother-in-law. So he has seen these things. And he has also declared that he is indeed the Christ. And then at the cross, when the Roman centurion, who had seen many people die before, this one was completely different from the past times. And he also declared that when he saw the Lord Jesus and how he died, he says, truly, this man was the Son of God. He declared that. I hope we can declare that today. But then John the Baptist, remember, at his baptism, he looked out and he bare witness that Jesus, that he came to be baptized, is also the Son of God. Remember at his baptism, the dove descended, the voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And also right after the baptism, Nathaniel also declared that when Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree, that he was nowhere near where Jesus was. Philip, you know, brought Nathaniel, and Nathaniel said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. So yes, people have declared that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So there was a relationship. They knew there was the Father, they knew there was the Son, and therefore that relationship is being established. But not only did people say that, we also have the demons that also said it. We know this to be clear in Scripture, that the demons also acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. So when there was a time when Jesus went across to a certain area, he went there, there was some men that came running out from the tombs, and one of them, as they're running out, cried out, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? What have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? Either come hither to torment us before the time. It's amazing that even the demons know that their time is limited. Do we know that your time is also limited? The scripture says that now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. The demons know and that their time is limited, and they recognize who Jesus was. He was indeed the Son of God. So as we think about getting closer to the hour, we should also just look at a couple of the works in which God the Father has done for you. And I thank God today, and just going to quickly run through because the time is running out. There's a couple of things that he as the Lord has done. One, he has chosen us before the foundations of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, the scripture talks about that. Blessed be the God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath indeed blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according that he had chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't it amazing that we know that before the foundations of the world, our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, well, the Son of God existed, and he was loved by God as a son before the foundation of the world. He had his glory, he had his authority, he had his power before the foundation of the world. And before the foundation of the world, it says there in Ephesians, he has chosen you. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to be holy and without blame, just as the Lord Jesus Christ is. And as you've seen him live among, and we read about it in Scripture, as he lived among us, that he was holy and undefiled. He didn't get caught up with sin. He knew no sin. In him was no sin. He did no sin. And so our Lord God, the Father, has chosen us before the foundation of the world, yet we should be holy. What a position, what a statement to be made. We look at ourselves sometimes and wonder, do we even measure up to this? But we thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So therefore, as we become holy and blameless before him in love, the scripture says, we are adopted. We're adopted unto him. So, for his good pleasure. It's good to know this. So the other thing we find in the scripture is that our God, of course we know, sent his son. We know that he sent his son. He chose us, he sent his son. before to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. And then we also find in scripture that our Lord Jesus, we looked at some of these words, that he was anointed, he was put in a position of where he is, and of also our God sent our Lord, his Son, to die for our sins. He took the wrath and judgment that we couldn't even bear for our sins. He took it all upon himself. And we also find out that our Lord Jesus rose from the dead through the Father. The Father, the scripture talks about the Father raising the Lord Jesus from the dead when he was there. He himself, the Son, raised himself from the dead, and the Holy Spirit also raised him from the dead. The scriptures that relate to all three. And so we have this concept here that our Lord is in the work of salvation. He's in the work of the resurrection. And one day, and we've been singing and we heard this morning, those who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ will also be raised. Their bodies will be raised. Their bodies will be new. The scripture talks about that. All this corrupted body will have new bodies. Just like the Lord Jesus, he can walk through walls and go into space and do not need any form of protection. Okay. And then we have the idea that our Lord worketh in us for our salvation. And then he seals us with the Holy Spirit. He established us. He wants us to be established in Christ Jesus. He wants us to, he has appointed us. And so therefore he had sealed us and given us the earnest spirit of our heart. So we can enjoy that protection that we have with the Lord Jesus and the Father. And the Father gives us good things. Remember the words in which our Lord Jesus spoke, that some fathers know when not to give their children, you know, they don't give them a snake. But we find here that our Lord Jesus said, your Father can give you good things for them that ask him. It's a wonderful God we have. And we find that there are other examples in scriptures in which what God is doing. And so, as we come to a close with this, we can think of these things. He is the potter, we're the clay. He's shaping us. He's making us. He is again, the scripture says that he's a father to the fatherless. That's who God the Father is. He's a father to the fatherless. And that he wants you and he wants me. Let not your heart be troubled, okay? So let's think about this as we end this passage here. Who is this God the Father? Well, there are some scriptures that we can think about that we can just quickly scan through here. Characteristics of God, I will not explain any of them. But this great God, the Father that we have, there's many things we'll talk about in the future. He is great. He has all knowledge. He is everywhere, omnipresent. He is very powerful. God the Father is great. He is everywhere. He is also powerful. And then we have here that not only that, but we know from the scripture reading that he is holy and he does not change. He's the same. And he's also a God that is a God of love. And the God the Father is definitely full of grace. He provides comfort to you. So he's the Father of grace. These are some of the characteristics of our God. And then there's more characteristics of our God. We have no time to discuss these. But we know from scripture that the wrath of God is a wrath, is an anger towards God for those that don't believe in him. And so the scripture talks about that. So we have that aspect of God. And he is rich in mercy. And our God is indeed faithful, and his mercies are new every morning. And not only such things that our God is also in control. It may seem that sometimes he's not, but our God is in control. And so he controls all things. And so I would like to conclude with a few things by saying this. What do we do with God the Father? We should wonder him because he's so wonderful. We should worship him because of who he is and what he has done for us. And we should trust him because he's worthy. He's dependable. And we should serve him because he is our greatest master. He's our savior. And we should also imitate the things of our God, the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Use Jesus as the example in which we should imitate. And the scripture says that we should pray to God. Jesus asks that we should pray to God the Father. We know what the prayer in which our Lord Jesus said that we should pray, but we can learn more about pray to him for, as you talk to a friend, that's who he is. Our Lord Jesus, our Father, is a friend to us that we can commune with him. Our Father, we just come before you now and thank you for this little precious time where we can look into your word to understand who God the Father is and how the relationship that we can see through Jesus Christ our Lord, that our God the Father loved the Lord Jesus. He gave him all his power, he gave him the glory, and they were there in creation, speaking the world into being. We thank you, God, that you are working in our lives. We ask, O God, that you just continue to mold us and to shape us to become the people that you want us to be that child that you want us to be, that we can be a parent, a father, in spite of not learning from our previous fathers what fatherhood is like. That we can learn from you, from your word, how to become the person to lead, to guide in our homes that we have. We pray, oh God, for each and every one of us as we grow closer to you, that we can know that our sins can be forgiven for those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, oh God, that in him we have our life and we have our being. We thank you, oh God, that we've been delivered from darkness. We thank you, oh God, that we've entered the marvelous light. May we continue to walk before you now in this world as you have directed us, and may the word of God teach us through the Spirit of God to guide, to be read daily, and to learn more of who you are, and to be a good example to this world through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is our help and our guide. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.